from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. At 7:10 a.m., February 19th, 2009, CNBC reporter Rick Santelli went on a rant about how the Obama administration's mortgage rescue plan was a disaster and ended it by saying that what America needed was a new Tea Party rebellion. A few hours later, the first Tea Party website went up, and in the coming months, a burgeoning movement rippled across the country. Now, Tea Party enthusiasts are gathering in Nashville, Tennessee for their first convention. The keynote speaker, Sarah Palin. In the hour ahead, we'll talk with two California Tea Party supporters and assess what to make of this new phenomenon. A Tea Party, next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome to Forum. According to The Economist magazine, the Tea Party movement is now the most vibrant political force in America. It's a movement that's less than a year old, yet its anti-big government, anti-big spending message seems to have captured the interests of many Americans. An NBC News Wall Street Journal poll in December found that 41% of Americans have a positive view of the Tea Party movement. And after helping Scott Brown score an upset win in the Massachusetts Senate race, Tea Party enthusiasts are flexing their political muscles. The first Tea Party convention is now underway in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to spend this first half hour of our program today focusing on what's behind the Tea Party movement and where it may go from here. We're going to hear from two California Tea Party supporters in a moment, but joining us first, Ramesh Panuru. He's senior editor for National Review and a Time magazine columnist. Has a new story out also about the Tea Party phenomenon that is appearing in the National Review. Ramesh Panuru, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Happy to have you with us. Tell me first kind of who the Tea Party is, because you've also been doing your own survey work recently, and it provides a few surprises about who some of the supporters of this movement are.
Well, yes. You know, there's been a lot of sort of loose speculation in the press about who the Tea Partiers are and what they're interested in. So National Review's nonprofit affiliate, the National Review Institute, commissioned a survey that looked very closely at the people who participated in Tea Party events and the people who say that they haven't participated in those events, but they agree with what the Tea Party movement stands for, which is an awful lot of people, by the way. In the survey, it came out to a majority of likely voters this year say they sympathize with the Tea Party movement's goals. And what we found was a lot of the common conceptions that people have are just not true.
For example, one of the things you found in the survey you just did is that 16% of the people who have an interest or are supportive of the Tea Party movement are people of color, which I think would surprise most people. And about 30% actually voted for President Obama in the last election, which, again, I think is a figure that would surprise most people.
Well, one of the smears that's out there is that the Tea Party movement is racist, that it's driven by a personal animosity to President Obama based on his race. And, yeah, a third of Tea Party activists and a third of the people who sympathize with them are Obama supporters. They voted for Obama, a third of them. A third of them still approve of the job he's doing. So the concerns they have about spending and debt levels are not at all a matter of race. They're concerned citizens who are worried about the economic trends.
And one of the common assumptions, I think, that probably most of us make about people who are supportive of the Tea Party is this association, though, with people who carry signs saying, where's the birth certificate, and that sort of thing. As you've looked into the movement, and again, we'll hear from a couple of California Tea Party supporters in a moment, what's your sense of where that falls on the continuum of people who are supportive of this movement?
Oh, I think very low. I think people have some real concerns about the direction of the administration's policies and about the economic future of the country. But it would be a real mistake to just think of them as sort of a fringe phenomenon, because remember, we're talking about a majority of the electorate. And I'll tell you something else. One of the things we were wondering about when we surveyed the public, with a special focus on the Tea Parties, was these attacks on the Tea Partiers as an angry fringe phenomenon. We were wondering how much of that has stuck. And we just asked people, do you think of the Tea Party movement as an angry fringe movement, or do you think of it as a group of citizens concerned about these economic trends of rising debt? And we had a huge, huge result on that, which was something like 70% of the public believed that they are concerned citizens, and only about 20% of them thought, no, it's just an angry fringe movement. So that kind of smear campaign, I think, just really isn't taking off.
Ramesh Panuru joins us.
Except in the press.
Ramesh Panuru, a member of the press, senior editor for National Review, also a Time magazine columnist, has a new story out about the Tea Party movement just appearing today in the online edition, I guess, of the National Review. Let's hear from a couple of Tea Party enthusiasts. Ramesh, stay with us, and we'll talk more about what's uniting people who are supportive of this and what's going on at the Tea Party convention that's taking place this weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. Joining us, Heather Gosch. She's an organizer with the Bay Area Patriots, which is a Tea Party organization or supportive of the Tea Party in Contra Costa County. Heather Goss, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for joining us. She's at the convention taking place in Nashville, Tennessee. And Gary Hahn joins us as well. He is president of the North Bay Patriots, which is a Santa Rosa-based Tea Party group, joining us this morning from Sonoma County. Gary Hahn, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thanks both for joining us. You heard what Ramesh Panuru was saying about the national survey, getting us a sort of clearer sense of what's behind the Tea Party movement. Heather Goss, since you're there on the ground at the national convention, talk a little bit, if you would, about the common denominator of people there. What are you finding about people who are there, supportive, like yourself, about what you're most concerned about? If there was a single thing that unites people who are supportive of the Tea Party movement, what would that something be?
Big government. I think control, lack of liberty. I think that we're afraid that our government has gotten out of control, and they, with cap and trade and all of these legislative measures, they're trying to legislate everything, and a lot of this is just plain unconstitutional.
What would be unconstitutional that's going on right now?
Well, I think government health care is unconstitutional. Having our federal government take over our actual health care is unconstitutional. It should be a state issue. And frankly, 80% of the people like their health care right now. We can't afford it. We're broke. We've got too much spending. We're being asked to tighten our belts by the government and make sacrifices, which we're doing. People are losing their jobs, and our government is continuing to spend. And they tell us, well, we're going to freeze spending next year after we've already spent all this money, and we're going to continue to spend. I mean, It's crazy. Craziness.
Yeah, I want to come back to the spending issue, and Gary Hahn, get your point of view on that as well. But Heather Goss, just for a moment on the unconstitutionality question, and you're saying that government a government takeover of healthcare would be unconstitutional. I'm curious about that, because what about the plan that the Obama administration and Senate Democrats put forward in particular constitutes a government takeover, number one? And why would that be – why is what they're doing unconstitutional? Because there's nothing about the plan that actually takes over medical delivery. Medical delivery would still be provided by the same people.
You know, just – I don't know specifically in the – the Constitution specifically states what the government is not allowed to do, okay? So if it's not spelled out in the Constitution, it's not something they can do. And this is something that is clearly stated in the Constitution. We need to get back to that. So forcing people to take government health care is not the answer.
Okay, so it's the specific requirement that people – that everyone sign up for insurance. Gary Hahn, tell me about the spending question in particular, because that does seem to be the common denominator that's fueled anger and protests around the country.
Well, we continue to spend and pile on the deficit, and this is going to be something that our grandchildren and our children are going to be paying for. Right now, the national debt has been piled up. Every individual in the United States is responsible for $242,000. We can't keep spending at the rate that we're spending. We have to dial everything back and start really taking a hard look at what we need to spend. They should freeze spending now and take a look at every one of these programs that are being funded and see where we can make the cuts. The American people are making those cuts on a day-to-day basis, and I want to commend Ramesh for the excellent job he did and portraying the Tea Party patriots across this country, because we're a lot of autonomous organizations and we all have pretty much the same philosophy, and that is the principle of fiscal responsibility, all state, local, and federal level. If you look at a lot of the states, they're in trouble too. Their states and their cities talking about going bankrupt. Well, they've got to look at their budgets. You've got to work within a budget. If people have to do that, governments have to do that. Governments can't continue to hire people and pile on that debt. That's exactly what's happening. We've lost 9.8 million jobs, and the government's going to hire 170,000 people. Well, it's great it's going to put people back to work, but it's the wrong part.
Gary Hahn is president of North Bay Patriots, which is a Santa Rosa-based Tea Party group. He joins us this hour along with Heather Goss, who is with the Bay Area Patriots and is at the Tea Party Convention in Nashville. Ramesh Panuru joins us as well, senior editor for National Review. Just written a story about this that appears in the online edition of the National Review today, also a columnist for Time magazine. Ramesh Panuru, this spending concern, is that sort of, though, the bottom line of what resonates most with people? Because even people who might not agree with many of the Tea Party enthusiasts' perspective on some issues, that's one that's sort of resonating around the country right now. Whoa, we are spending too much. We've got real problems.
Well, I think it's maybe a little bit broader than that. As Heather suggested, there is a sort of widespread skepticism and concern about big government in general. Spending is part of that. Debt is part of that, but also regulation and taxes are a big part of that. You know, you had that conversation with her about the constitutional question, and this was another thing that, you know, I'd never seen surveyed until we asked this question, which was, we asked people in the survey, do you think that Congress has lost sight of the constitutional limits on its power in recent years? And not only did we have something like 70% of the public saying yes, we had 53% of the public saying that they strongly agreed with that statement. And that was something that crossed ideological lines. Liberals agreed with it, although they weren't as likely to agree with it as conservatives were. Independents agreed with it. So there is just sort of a general sense that the government is becoming too ambitious, too powerful, and is forgetting its proper limits.
Though that may be one of those things where when you ask people a question that's essentially, do you believe there's too much regulation or is regulation just right, that it kind of leans the answer in a particular way, don't you think?
About that, right? I mean, if you ask that question in the middle of the financial crisis, certainly a lot of people were saying things like, we don't have enough regulation. The problem with the last decade is we didn't have enough, and the public is simply disagreeing with that.
Let me ask all of you, really, on the question of spending. Heather Goss, the deficit, of course, began to grow during the administration of President Bush, as you know, went from having a surplus to the end of the Bush years having a $1.3 billion deficit. Trillion, rather. Is that – were you as concerned then as you are now? Is why did the Tea Party movement not start protesting spending gone out of control during the Bush years rather than now?
You know what? I can't answer that question. All I know is I'm awake now. I think it was done over a longer period of time. I don't think people were paying as much attention. I'm totally unhappy about what Bush did, and I think that the TARP program was a big mistake. I mean, all of this bailout stuff was a big mistake. But to say, I'm just sick of hearing this administration say it's Bush's fault. I mean, mm-hmm. they need to take responsibility for what they've done. And you know what? I totally blame Bush for taking us down that road and opening that door and abandoning conservative principles. But once somebody's dug a hole, a small hole, it's not okay to say, okay, well, the hole's there. Why don't we just make a swimming pool out of it? And we can all jump in and drown.
Yeah, Gary Hunt.
Let's have some, get a hold of yourselves, people. We need to stop spending.
Gary Hunt, do you see it that way as well, that the Bush-era deficit, which ended at $1.3 trillion, actually the Congressional Budget Office projects that the deficit at the end of this fiscal year will also be $1.3, so the hole is no smaller, no larger, according to the latest CBO estimates. But again, this question about why this movement bubbled up now rather than a couple of years ago.
Well, I would think that that's probably when it started. There was a rising in the American people, and we were all kind of asleep. And most of the Tea Party patriots will come forward and say, "We screwed up. We were not good stewards with our country," because it starts with we the people. The government works for us, and it's we the people that let this happen and didn't speak up and start making sure that our elected representatives were doing what is necessary to be fiscally responsible. And it started during the Bush administration and started to really come to a head last year. I mean, it was towards the end of last year, and the bank bailouts and the TARP program and the bailouts for the car companies, that's when it really started. And it just manifested itself over into the beginning of this year when it was just time to put together those Tea Party protests. And that's what really started to draw this together.
Let me ask you all what you expect to happen next. And starting with the convention itself, Ramesh Panuru, as we've all read, there's been some controversy regarding this convention. A couple of supporters of it have dropped away. The American Liberty Alliance and the National Precinct Alliance both dropped out of the convention, as did a couple of congressional representatives who were going to speak, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee and Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota. Some of this was about whether or not this was, really a for-profit sort of venture. Eric Erickson of redstate.com said it smells scammy to him because it's costing a fair amount of money to attend, $550. What's your view, Ramesh Panuru, first of the convention itself, and then let's talk about where it will go from here?
Well, look, I mean, this is a fledgling movement. It is just starting out, and it's very typical for such things to have organizational growing pains. These people are, in many cases, new participants in the political process. They're meeting each other, discovering that they've got common ground, discovering that they've got sort of these political muscles that they haven't previously flexed. I think the key question is going to be, how do the existing political parties respond to this movement? Because traditionally that's the way these social movements and these new political movements have their influence, is by altering the behavior of one or both of the mainstream political parties. And I think what you've seen is a hanging back on the part of the Republicans, but I think that has been primarily because of sort of tactical and organizational questions, not from a question of whether they have sympathy with the underlying goals. So I suspect that the controversies over who is and is not participating in this convention are ultimately going to be footnotes. They're going to be bumps in the road. It's not going to be the major determinant of the influence of this movement.
Heather Gus, did the charge of $550 to attend, did that bother you? Given your focus on spending, did the $100,000 speaking fee for Sarah Palin bother you, though she says she'll plow it back into the cause, though not clear what exactly that will refer to? Did those sorts of, since you're concerned about spending, did those sorts of dollar questions concern you at all or not?
Well, sure. I mean, spending $550 on anything right now is a lot, but this is too important. I mean, this is something that is so important to me. I never thought I would be at a national Tea Party convention, let alone an activist and standing on street corners protesting. I mean, that's just crazy talk, a couple of years ago. But it's too important. Our country is too valuable, and I need to meet with other people across the country. I mean, we are a fledgling. We're finding our way. And and we're going to make a difference, but we need to connect. So if it means spending some money to do this and be part of history and get involved, and I've been protesting for over a year, so this is not something I've put my heart and soul into this, and this is kind of reaching out and knowing that you're not alone.
And Gary Hahn, speaking of being not alone, I'm curious about how you do that in California, given this state's liberal tradition, though we do have a habit of electing Republican governors in the main. Where do you think you can take this, in Northern California in particular?
Well, you know, looking at the latest poll numbers that have been coming out through some independent organizations, a lot of people are taking a positive view. Even here in California, there's a positive view of the Tea Party Patriots. And when you look at our membership is just like Ramesh said. We've got a cross-section according to California. We have members that are Democrats that did vote for President Obama, that because of the spending and because of the proposals that are put forward and not following the Constitution, and what seems to be a lack of focus on national security, they're upset. And we're just making our voices heard. We have over 600 people we send emails to and consider members. We've had training sessions. It's something we just continue to reach out to people.
A couple of emails coming in to from our listeners this morning, and we will open up our phone lines and have an open half hour in our second part of this program for everyone to chime in, not only about the Tea Party movement, but about where you see politics in America right now, whether or not you approve or disapprove of the president's performance. That's what we'll do in our second half hour. But a couple of emails coming in that I should get to you. Eamon writes in, if the Tea Party people seriously believe that the government that governs best is the one that governs least, perhaps they can give us an example of a developed country in which this actually happens. Gary Hahn, you want to take that? Gary, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Can you respond to that question? If you believe that the government that governs best is the government that governs least, this individual wants to know where you can point to an example anywhere in the world where that takes place.
Well, Switzerland comes to mind right off the bat, where they have a pretty small government and the people have a pretty wide open free market system. That's what our founding principles are, and free market is what the Constitution says. And what we need to be working on is getting back to that type of a system to let the people govern themselves, with just the federal government ensuring that we have the national security and the safety that we deserve. State government should be doing the regulations that are necessary to protect citizens. We're the country that leads the world. We're the country that developed these.
But we lead the world in part because we have a government that isn't necessarily one that behaves in the least possible way. I mean, if we were governing by the least, we wouldn't be doing what we would be doing across the globe or within this country, would we?
That's correct, and that's been taking place over the last 100 years, with marching away from the Constitution. There's things that we have done that have progressed us to this point. What we need to do is start readdressing those, and that's the grievances that the people have, and the Tea Party Patriots that are coming forward want to make sure that we're following the Constitution.
Gary Hahn, yes, sorry to interject, but we're coming up on a break, and we appreciate very much your being with us. He's president of the North Bay Patriots, the Santa Rosa-based Tea Party group. Thanks very much for being part of this first part of our program. Gary Hahn, Heather Goss, thanks to you as well. She's an organizer with the Bay Area Patriots, attending the Tea Party Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And Ramesh Panuru joined us as well, senior editor for the National Review and columnist for Time Magazine. We're going to open up our phone lines and let you weigh in on this question now. What do you think of the Tea Party movement? What do you think of where politics are heading right now in America, including the Obama administration? Here's the number, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at kqed.org/forum. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. We've got an open half hour ahead of us where we're just going to open up our phone lines and email lines and our website, of course, for you to weigh in on your thoughts, not only about the Tea Party movement and its convention, which is now taking place in Nashville, Tennessee, but your thoughts about the state of politics in America. Obviously, there have been a significant drop in approval for President Obama. What are your thoughts about how the administration is proceeding? Where do you think all of this will go in the year ahead as we face the midterm elections coming up in November of this year? We welcome your thoughts on this topic and your concerns as well. Here is the number to dial in, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can email us at forum@kqed.org. And you can also join in on our website if you just like to develop an online conversation about this. Just go to our site, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, and we'll collect comments from there as well. Start out with a call from Christian in San Rafael, who joins us first. Christian, go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that I'm a bit astounded at the degree to which a group that is celebrating their patriotism in critique of government, which I think is fantastic, but yet is unable to point us to what parts of the Constitution or what activities in relation to the Constitution they feel are so egregiously in violation of the Constitution. So it's just a comment, and I'll listen off air.
Christian, thanks. Thanks for the call and for the observation. Christian, referring to Heather Goss, who voiced her concerns that the Obama health care plan was unconstitutional. Jed in Vallejo joins us next. Jed, go ahead.
Hey, well, I just wanted to comment that one of the other people you had speaking said that free markets are what it says on the Constitution. I don't think the man has ever actually read the Constitution, because the words free market never appear in the Constitution. The liberal, capital L liberal, classical liberalism, free market ideology didn't exist when the Constitution was written. It was meant to be the governing structure for a largely agricultural society, and many of the founding fathers were actually very skeptical of markets. What does exist in the Constitution is that we're supposed to be a collection of largely autonomous self-governing states with the central government that only handles things the individual states can't and doesn't have a standing army. We're not supposed to have a standing army. Our only military is supposed to be the militias. But the Tea Party people want free markets and a big army so they can, you know, keep being imperialists all over the world. It's got nothing to do with the Constitution.
Well, Jed,
they need to go read it.
Yeah, Jed, it's true that the one area of spending that Tea Party members continue to support is defense spending, according to the recent surveys. But let me ask you, Jed, your views on the overall sort of feeling about government is out of control, it's not very efficient, we're spending way too much money, we've got this gargantuan deficit that's going to be something that will be a tremendous burden for our children and grandchildren. Are you sympathetic? Do you have those concerns?
I agree with all of those points. I didn't vote for Obama. I checked other and wrote none of the above.
Wow.
And I do that most elections because I don't think either political party or the Tea Party movement, which is, let's be frank, a front for the Republican Party, I don't think any of those people has our country's best interest at heart. I think for the Tea Party people and the Republican Party, which they're shilling for, all of these things are rhetoric that they use to get elected, and once they're elected, they completely ignore them. Republicans are just fine having a big activist government as long as it's keeping people from, you know, having safe access to abortion, you know, keeping people from publicly displaying, you know, their affection towards their partners who happen to be of the same gender. They're fine with a big activist government. They just want an activist on their platform.
Jed, thanks. Thanks for the call and the observation. Again, though, according to the new survey that the National Review put forward, 16% of those who say they're Tea Party sympathizers are people of color, 11% Latinos, 5% African-American. 29% of them actually voted for Obama. So whether or not, as Jed suggests, it's actually a front for the Republican Party, at least some of the polling indicates that that may not exactly be the case. Let's hear from Brian, who joins us next in San Francisco. Brian, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I think all these individual issues are interesting, but I think on a deeper level, we've got people that are emotionally driven. They don't have great depth of understanding about individual issues or the Constitution. They also tend to be associated with gatherings where you don't get a cross exchange of ideas. So I really think that what we have here is kind of a a group of people who really have a very shallow understanding of what they're talking about, but it feels good to talk about it kind of on a bumper sticker level. And I think, you know, whether they're for Obama or not, that's kind of what ties them together as a group.
But would you also suggest or say, Brian, that emotion and perhaps not always the deepest level of understanding of complex issues was also part of what was behind Obama's election? I mean, we saw a surge of emotion and drive and support for Mr. Obama. I'm not quite sure where that emotion and supporters have gone in the past year that he's been president, but that can play both ways, can't it?
My guess is if you gave, you know, some sort of somewhat objective standardized test on the Constitution and our history and maybe, you know, if you gave the all of the Obama supporters that test and then all the Tea Party people the same test, there'd be a significant difference in the results of that, of how they do.
All right, Brian, thanks. Thanks for the call and the observation. John in San Rafael is next. John, go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to start off by saying that if you want to talk about the financial mess we're in, you should read James Kunstler and Paul Krugman. In fact, I wish you could get James Kunstler on forum. But anyway, these Tea Party nut jobs, they're just spouting selective sophistry, if not outright lies. The Cheney Bush junta, these crony capitalist oligarchs, and by the way, crony capitalism is not capitalism. It's cargo cult, rocket junk financial science is what got us into this mess. And these people are just part of the have that believe in a winner-take-all economy.
But, John, let me just interject for a second, because you started out with the typifying people who are supportive of Tea Partiers as I don't know whether you said whack jobs or nut jobs, but it was one of those phrases.
Yeah.
And yet, when you see the survey work that has been done, including one done by the Wall Street Journal NBC News poll, which said that 41% of Americans are sympathetic to what the Tea Party stands for, that's a significant portion of the population. I don't think it's accurate to write this off as a bunch of, you know, nut jobs.
I think the last 30 years of political discourse has been driven by the Reagan, quote, revolution. It was really more of a counter-revolution. You know who really won when Reagan was elected was not Ronald Reagan, but Ruhollah Khomeini. And if Ruhollah Khomeini had not done what he did, I think Jimmy Carter would have succeeded in balancing the budget the way he promised, and Reagan would never have stood a chance.
Okay, John, I'm going to hold you there because there are lots of people who want to chime in, but thanks
sure.
for offering your views and participating in our conversation this morning. Again, the number, lots of people calling in, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Or you can email us at forum@kqed.org or post your comments online. Just go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment and you can join in with an online dialogue about this question. Again, this half hour, we're talking about not only the Tea Party movement, but where you see politics right now in America. Are you disappointed with what's going on with politics in this country right now? Are you disappointed in the Obama administration? His approval ratings have continued to slip from where they were just a year ago. Where would you like to see him proceed at this point? Is it in a more bipartisan fashion, or would you like to see him push harder on the left side of the political agenda? Where do you see all of that? We welcome your calls and thoughts about all of this at 866-733-6786. And let's go to Casey in Oakland. Casey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to disagree with a lot of what's been said. I would consider myself to be pretty close to a Tea Party supporter, and
yeah.
A huge part of my platform and everyone I know that is involved in this is ending the wars and non-interventionism and non-imperialism and saving our money there and ending the war. And I think that's a big part of the disapproval rating of the Obama administration is the fact that he kind of upped the war in Afghanistan, has continued and increased the drone attacks in Pakistan,
yep.
And people elected him with the mandate of ending all of that. And it seems like he's focused on the health care instead.
Yeah, Casey, let me ask you if I might. Don't need to tell me, but did you support Obama in the last election?
No, sir. I'm a Ron Paul supporter and supported him in the last election.
And on the question of the getting out of both Afghanistan and Iraq, it's interesting to hear your points of view on that as someone who is not supportive of those wars. One of the other things, of course, that got us into trouble deficit-wise was the support of those wars taking place during the previous administration without upping taxes. This was a war that we weren't able to really pay for. Again, question I raised in the first half hour, did you have those same concerns during the Bush years as well?
Absolutely. No one I know is a supporter of the establishment Republican Party and the movement, and they're all were very against that, and I don't even like considering it a war because that's one of the unconstitutional things is Congress is supposed to declare war, and they haven't declared war, and that leads to all the funding problems that you get because without the full support of the war, then no one's willing to pay for it, and including me, because I'm not willing to pay for it. I don't think it's – I think our CIA caused the problem through the 50s. I mean,
yep. Casey,
if you
thanks.
Really study that.
Yeah, Casey, thanks. Thanks for joining in our conversation. We'd like to hear from other Tea Party sympathizers this morning as well. Casey brought in the point of view of an anti-war Tea Party sympathizer. We'd like to hear your thoughts on that as well if you're someone who is sympathetic with the Tea Party cause. Joe in San Francisco is up next. Joe, you're on.
Yes, hi, thanks. Two points. First, with the exception of your last caller, everything that I've heard from the Tea Party side shows a complete ignorance of what the Constitution says and what it doesn't say. It's just not even in the ballpark. But more importantly, it's just amazing to me that all these people who quite rightfully think that we shouldn't be spending so much money always think that the way to cut down on spending is to take it away from the poor, as opposed to taking it away from the 50% of our money that gets spent on military bases, military ventures, and fattening companies like Halliburton. Why is it that, well, I know why it is, people have been so propagandized that it never occurs to them that this is why we're broke, not because too much money is being spent on the poor in public service.
Joe, thanks. Thanks for the call and the observation. Steve in Marshall, Texas, wants to join in on the Constitution question as well. Steve, go ahead.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, great. Yes, I just wanted to say that I consider myself a political independent. I'm politically active in Texas and state politics. To me, the problem, I mean, I don't think we have any constitutional scholars on here today, callers or guests. But to me, the problem has its root in something Alexis de Tocqueville wrote about in the first decade of the 19th century, which is that the best and the brightest in the democratic system will never run because they will be in the marketplace exercising their liberty. And they will not want to subject themselves to the scrutiny created and applied by elected office. I think that puts us in our present situation, particularly the economic situation, where we got a bunch of guys that can't handle money in charge of fixing it. I think they allowed a lot of people to perpetuate the greatest heist in American history on the American people. My question for the Tea Party sympathizers is, what does the Tea Party movement plan to do with regard to availing itself of the electoral process? How do they choose who to support and who not to support?
Steve, thanks.
In races.
Yeah, Steve, thanks. Thanks for the call. One of the fascinating things, I think, about the Tea Party movement so far is that it's quite purposely not a party yet. And in fact, most people who are Tea Party enthusiasts, according to the polls that have been done, don't want to form a separate party. They want to push the Republican Party in a particular area, and they're not necessarily interested in the big tent philosophy of either Republicanism or Democrat parties. It's an interest of pushing the party in their particular interest, but still working through the party to elect someone, Scott Brown, of course, in Massachusetts being the best example. We'll see where this goes and what kind of influence they have with the Republican Party in the year ahead. Again, the number 866-733-6786. And we welcome your thoughts, too, not just on Tea Party. We really want to get a sense of where you're feeling about American politics right now in this state, but also around the country. Are you concerned about spending? And if you're not a Tea Party enthusiast, what do you think should be done to rein in spending so that we don't have such gargantuan debt and deficits in the future? Let's go to Mike next in Berkeley. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for your show. I guess what I my perspective on this is, I think the American public really has a good sense about what's really true and what's really important to them. And I think I just saw a movie called Edge of Darkness, and Mel Gibson in the movie says, "We all know what we need to do. Just do the right thing." And I think the biggest frustration that I have is the fact that I think that the two parties in Congress are basically spin-selling whatever issue and however they want to take it politically, and we're in a stalemate, and we can't get anything done. And I think if you would ask any American, I think what all Americans want is let's do the right thing. And I think we all know what the right thing is.
And where does that leave you? Where does that leave you, Mike, in terms of who you want to support in the upcoming November election 2010?
Well, it's interesting. Almost all the different people in some ways resonated to what I was early thinking. I voted for President Obama because, in my belief, he's trying to do the right thing. Whether he's supported on that or not is a different issue. I also have voted in the past of being independent in earlier elections because I didn't even like the party leader. So my idea is doing the right thing is let's work together as a country, solve our issues. I mean, build our own infrastructure, take care of the people. We know what the issues are. But what I'm sick of is hearing the Congress and all the politicians basically boosting their own agenda. And it's disgusting because you hear it and you hear it. And when I watched the movie with Mel Gibson, I thought, wow. That message resonated because he says, "Let's just do the right thing."
Mike, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the observation. I wonder what people think of as an indicator of sort of how things may or may not be working in Congress, of what happened with Ben Nelson of Nebraska as one of the last Democratic senators to sign on. Back when the Democrats still had 60 votes of veto-proof majority in the Senate, and he demanded that for his vote that the federal government would have to pay for the expansion of all Medicaid costs in the state of Nebraska. He essentially held the Senate hostage to get his vote. And the administration went along with that. Is that the kind of thing that in the end just doesn't play right, that just doesn't seem like the right thing, as Mike, our caller in Berkeley, just put it? What do you think of that? Is that the sort of thing that is part of the problem with how politics works in this country? Phil is next in San Francisco. Phil, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Phil from San Francisco, and I'm an independent. I voted for both Republicans and Democrats. I'll put that up front so you kind of know where I'm coming from. I want to address what you just said. The Ben Nelson issue, I think, really highlights one of the big things that's wrong with the way our government and our whole process has kind of evolved. And I think the issue with regard to the Tea Party, which is symptomatic of a larger problem, is that the American people have a vast tendency to sort of stay asleep until they experience some great discontent, either economic, political, social, and then they have a tendency to wake up. If they get invaded, they have a tendency to wake up. And I think what's happening right now is America's finding out that the political duopoly of Republicans and Democrats don't really fit their needs anymore. America's gone from a country where there was a great deal more hegemony, both politically, racially, culturally, many years ago, say 30, 40, 50 years ago, to a situation now where you've got people from all over, and that's pretty much considered acceptable and normal, especially in a place like San Francisco. Even if you go to places that are fairly isolated these days, there's much broader acceptance and awareness that we are not a homogeneous population. And I think the conventional duopoly of Republican versus Democrat, of the way business has been conducted, of, you know, one state saying we're going to hold you hostage for our votes, I think that thinking is very outmoded. And I think there's a huge lag in the political system behind where the people are today. The people are very informed. They have the ability to read independent sources of news on the Internet. They have the ability to think for themselves. And the Tea Party is, even though, you know, one group or another may be trying to co-opt it, as is typical in political forums, I think the Tea Party is symptomatic of the fact that the population in general is seeking an alternative. They're saying, you know, yeah, I voted for Republicans, or yeah, I voted for Democrats, or I've been a Republican, I've been a Democrat, but, you know, they're not really meeting my needs. They're trying to push a one-size-fits-all, big-tent solution on the entire nation where, well, maybe my state should be different. maybe our laws based upon our needs should be different. Maybe the federal government's getting a little bit too overreaching, and I don't want them doing these things for me in this state or in this locality. Maybe I think California should be different from Nebraska, or, you know, even San Francisco should be different from Los Angeles.
Phil, I'm going to have to interject and hold you there because we're short on time. But thanks for the call, and thanks for your thoughtful observations this morning. Appreciate your being part of our program. Let's squeeze in one more quick observation. Deborah in El Cerrito. Just a quick thought, Deborah, please.
Yes, I'm sad to see Obama reach out over and over again to the Republicans who are filibustering every single piece of legislation, may not even support the jobs bill. It's like he's being blamed for deficits when what we used to call treasury expenditures, the tax cuts and all the supplemental war expenses and so forth were heaped on. And no one said boo about that. I mean, most sane economists point out that in a deep and damaging recession, you have to have government spending. So, you know, we Californians are very experienced in seeing the inability to reach a budget and the inability for some to even think of raising revenue when taxes are down, and all they can say is cut, cut, cut.
Deborah, let me hold you there. Thanks for the thought and the observation. Thanks to all our listeners, emailers, and web participants, as well as our earlier guests, Heather Goss and Gary Hahn and Ramesh Panuru, for taking up this interesting moment in American politics and the rise of the Tea Party and what it may portend for American politics in the coming year. Thanks for being part of that conversation. As you know, this is Pledge Time on KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson. And let's continue now with Frank in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Frank, go ahead.
It's Mike in Alamogordo.
Oh, sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I think I would have more empathy and sympathy for the Tea Party if they concentrated more on what the Founding Fathers intended our congressmen do. That seems to be the bigger problem that, as I see it. I don't think they had the intention that congressmen would have a lifetime retirement benefit of $100,000 a year plus, nor unlimited medical expenses and some of the other benefits that they continue to increase and approve. My opinion is that everybody's out to sink the current administration, concentrating all their energies and efforts on ditching this administration when they're totally ignoring the real problem.
Mike, thanks. Thanks for the call, and thanks for dialing into us or listening to us on the Sirius Satellite Network in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Thanks for being part of our program. Let's get another caller in. David joins us next in San Francisco. David, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the topic. Excellent choice. And I would just like to really throw out a cheers to the Tea Party fellow supporters that I am, and to ask folks that are on the other side, open your minds a little bit. I used to be a Democrat, but I am Harvard educated. I read the Constitution. I think there's good constitutional arguments on both sides. So it's really a question of interpretation, not right or wrong. And the question is that those of us who support Tea Party views generally say, generally the federal and the state and the city governments are spending too much on wasteful programs that don't really solve the problems they state to solve. So it's not that we hate the poor. Of course not. 99% of people in America support some kind of basic social and safety net. That's obvious. It's a moral imperative. But most of what we see is feather bedding, both for corporations and unions and politically connected interest groups, and that's what we object to. And we find that, therefore, a government that governs least is probably going to govern better than the current spending frenzy we have right now.
And David, it sounds like you're also someone who would not represent the sort of stereotypical image of what most people, at least probably here in California in the Bay Area, think of as a Tea Party supporter.
Bingo. I live in Haight-Ashbury. I'm gay. I'm Jewish. I'm Ivy League educated.
Check.
I don't hate the poor. I'm not a racist. I'm not a bigot. I'm not an old white Christian in a country club. The folks who think that all the Tea Party peoples are, you know, six-fingered people from Tennessee, are really wrong, and they're missing the boat because they live in a San Francisco bubble. So I'm saying open your mind, read a little bit more, and diversify your input of data.
David, thanks. Thanks for the call. Thanks for participating in our program this morning. If you're listening to us on the Sirius Satellite Network or here in San Francisco or on the Internet, you can still join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. That's forum@kqed.org. Couple of emails coming in from our listeners. Sue writes, how do you think the country would have fared if during the Great Depression, the federal government had not embarked on the series of rebuilding programs, including the WPA and the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, and other programs that resulted in massive spending? So an argument there for the role of government, particularly during difficult economic times. Eric writes in, who teaches at Sonoma State University in the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice, again on this question of constitutional law. He says, I teach constitutional law at Sonoma State and get very frustrated with people invoking the Constitution without any knowledge of what the Constitution says. There might be constitutional issues with the health care plan, but they are less so than the constitutional issues with Medicare. I doubt anyone wants to drop Medicare. Second, the Constitution says nothing about free markets, as one of your guests suggests. If you're going to have people on your shows, please have someone on the show who knows the Constitution and can answer those concerns. Eric, thanks for writing in. Let's go to another caller. Doug in Washington joins us next. Doug, go ahead.
Thank you very much. My complaint has always been for the last three, four decades, it's all in the defense spending, corporate interest, national interest that we believe that is in our best interests. We are empire builders, and we've spent trillions and trillions of dollars through the Pentagon, and it's breaking us. We can afford anything and everything we want, but we just have to stop the spending in the Pentagon.
Doug, thanks. Thanks for the call and the observation. As part of our program today, I'm going to leave you with just one little bit of polling data to think about as we wind up our program. In that last NBC News Wall Street Journal poll on attitudes towards the Tea Party and also the Democrat and Republican parties, here are the numbers. Tea Party, 41% positive, 24% negative. Democratic Party, 35% positive, 45% negative. Republican Party, 28% positive, 43% negative. So the Tea Party scored better than either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Interesting bit of how Americans see politics at the moment. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory, Tina Lorberg, and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our executive producer, Raul Ramirez. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.